And for me, personal life is more your hobbies or your being with other people. And of course, like if one of your hobbies is surf and you are a surf instructor, it's overlapped. But at the same time, there is also separation, because when you are giving a class, it's your work. When you are enjoying by yourself with friends, it's your hobby.
Hey there, if you want to get into UX design, freelancing, or into any creative field, really, then you've come to the right place. I'm Sophia, nice to meet you. And in this podcast, I share my own journey to becoming a UX freelancer. I share everything as I go through it, so you can learn from my mistakes and be inspired to keep going no matter what, because it will take a lot of hard work. But remember, we're in this together and we can grow much faster if we help each other out and learn from one another. I put out an episode every single Tuesday, and you can join the conversation on Instagram via the polls and the questions that I put out there. And now let's get into this week's episode. Today I'm here with my friend Raquel. She also works remotely as a project manager, and we're going to talk about a topic that I wanted to bring for some time, but I didn't want to do it alone because I have a perspective of a freelancer and also of a person that deals kind of well with chaos in my routine. So Raquel has a different level of OCD than me, I think. And she works remotely for a company as a project manager, so she has a different perspective about this. So we're going to try to give you some insights about work-life balance and also managing all our projects, side projects, hobbies, and our work. But yeah, no promises, because this is a really tricky topic and we both suck at it sometimes, like everyone else. So maybe we can help you with some of your struggles, or maybe we can just share our experiences with this. So hey, Raquel, do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners? What do you do for work? How did you start working remotely?
Yeah.
And also, hello, hobbies Sophia. That you have and other stuff that you feel like you want to share.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I can share. First of all, I'm Raquel, as you said. I think you did a good presentation already. I'm a project manager, but that's not what I studied at all. I studied biological engineering, and I'm from Lisbon. What else? I lived in Belgium and in the Netherlands before, and now I'm starting my digital nomad lifestyle. I'm right now in Bulgaria. As Sophia said, I have a bunch of stuff on my plate because I like to do a lot of different stuff, and I have a lot of different interests.
Yeah, can you give us some examples of your side projects?
Yes. So, my main work is the project management at a pharmaceutical company, but I also work voluntarily to Remote Portugal as a HR manager, and also I'm managing the podcast team. Besides that, I also do a little of a work on the side for my previous club of roller skating. So basically for the choreographies that the girls and the guys do on the roller skates, we need some music, and we need to edit those audios so they have the right time and the right characteristics. So that's what I do. I edit the audio for them. And that's basically it, besides all my sports and stuff that I get into it. Right now I'm in Bulgaria doing some ski and snowboard, so I also have to find the time for that, basically.
Yeah, and I remember a time when I stayed at your place for a couple of days where you woke up like at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. I can remember to go surfing. So yeah, you do a lot of different stuff you really prioritize them, I guess.
Yeah, I really like to do sports. I really prioritize my social life as well. And I know I'm kind of lucky because my 9-to-5 job, if we can call it like that, it's pretty flexible and my workload is not that big. So I can conciliate with all these side projects and all my hobbies and social life. If I had a bigger workload at my regular job, probably I wouldn't be able to do as much or just do like less hours for each of these activities I like to do.
Yeah, that's very true. If you have a flexible schedule, everything gets easier, but I also think it can get a little bit more chaotic to balance all of this, to have the discipline to do that. But we can get into that a little bit later. For now, maybe you could tell us why you chose project management, if it was like a conscious choice or if you just ended up there. And yeah, how did that all start in project management?
Yeah, so basically I kind of got into it. It was nothing really planned. I have a lot of different interests and I don't feel I fit on a category. Like, since I was a kid, when some kids know you want to be a nurse or want to be a teacher, like, you know, some specific interests, I had kind of more broad interests. And I found lately that that is called kind of multipotency or something like that.
Multipotentiality.
Potentiality. Yes,
exactly. It's a big word.
Exactly, that's it. And maybe I didn't really read a lot about it, but maybe that's where I fit in. And so basically how I ended up there was, I also always had this idea in my head, I would like to go more into management, but I always chose the broader option. So basically I went to science because then I could go to economics later. And then I went to engineering because I could all go to everything. And so yeah. I always chose the most broad. And somehow I ended up in management. So I started in a pharmaceutical company because of my education. And then after a year there, I had this opportunity to change within the company, and there was an open position for project management, and I applied, and they believed in me and they trained me for it. And so that's how I ended up here. Then I realized I actually like it. And so I kept going. And since you have experience, then it's easier to find the next job.
Yeah. And do you have any idea why you always wanted to go towards management? Was it because of some of your personality, or just because you don't like doing the like those mundane tasks, the really technical tasks? I don't know. I'm just guessing here.
No, yeah, it's actually, I think it's really related with my personality, because for me, planning, coordination, defining processes is something really natural for me. I didn't realize that until like last year or 2 years ago. I started putting the pieces together and seeing that actually, yeah, this is something super natural and super easy for me. And when I talk with some other people, it's a struggle. So that's where I figured it out. Okay, maybe the things I think that are obvious, they are not so obvious. And that's how I ended up liking project management, and not everyone does it. So I think it's really about my personality. Some of the stuff, of course, there are stuff that I need to improve, as all the people, but the basic things were there already with me. And that's how I decided to keep going.
Yeah, and I think you do a very good job, at least in remote Portugal. Yeah, my last guest was also in the podcast team of Remote Portugal. You are getting to know the whole team almost. I think you do a really good job managing it, and you take into account all the people's needs, like not only your needs in project management. And actually, I think that's why I wouldn't make a very good project manager, because I'm actually quite good at creating systems for myself. But then I sometimes kind of feel stuck in them, and I just throw them in the trash. But that apart, I don't really get how other people organize themselves. So I think that will be my biggest struggle as a project manager, because I have a really peculiar way of organizing my projects and of managing my projects. So yeah, I think being a project manager can also be, you should also have some people skills and empathy, I guess. Do you agree?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Like, that's one of, I think, maybe the biggest struggles, because all the planning, organization processes, you can teach to everyone, basically. Like, you just need to follow this, or, you know, it's something more structured. But yeah, managing people, you really learn with experience. Like, there are some really easy people, if you say, maybe sometimes it's not even easy, it's just they are more the way you are, and so it's easier for you. And then there are some more difficult people to handle, and or they just work in a different way and you need to get them so you can actually work with them and managing them. So it really depends. I remember my first manager, the one that actually hired me for this project management position. He was telling me, yeah, some people you really need to do like babysitting, and you just need to really be there for them and talk with them almost every day and see how they're going, what they need. And some others, they just handle the work when it's done and that's it. And you'll just learn with the way and with the job, basically, and with experience.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I wanted to bring this up because everything that we're going to say here about work-life balance and project management and managing your time, take all of that with a grain of salt, because everyone is different, like you just said, and different things are going to work for different people. So I just wanted to bring that up. And would you say that your experience as a project manager also helps you manage other things in your life besides work, like your side projects and also achieving this work-life balance? Would you say that helps or not?
Yeah, first of all, yeah, I think it was great that you made this disclaimer. Of course, everyone is different and the different things work for different people. And about my experience, I don't think my experience as project manager helps me that much with my personal life. I think, as I was mentioning before, what got me into project management and what made me like it was already inside me. And that's what helps me on my personal life. Of course, there are some like little things you learn along the way, and you always take it either from the work to your life or vice versa. But I think it's mostly my personal growth and my inner capacities, let's say, or personality that helps me in managing my work-life balance.
Yeah, so you're saying it's more a two-way thing. Your personality helps in your work, and maybe some things that you learn also help you in your personal life, but it is more like a two-way thing, that it's more based on your personal growth, like as a whole. Is that it?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this takes me to a topic that I wanted to address, which is if we should, like, we see a lot online, we see both sides. We see one side that says that we should completely separate our work from our personal life, and the other side that says that we would be most happy when, and most productive also, when we mix them, when we let them overlap. So I wanted to know what your take would be on this.
For me, I really think you should be able to separate them. I can understand when people say you should mix them, but I think it's more kind of mix them in terms of interests, maybe. So you are doing something that you actually love and that you don't really mind doing it. But I think it's always good to have, yeah, separation between the two of them, because in some ways there is always like, it's always work, even if it's something you like, it's something that you are responsible for, and it gets you sometimes a bit of stress. Or, and for me, personal life is more your hobbies or your being with other people. And of course, like, if one of your hobbies is surf and you are a surf instructor, it's overlapped. But at the same time, there is also separation, because when you are giving a class, it's your work. When you are enjoying by yourself with friends, it's your hobby. So I think it's always some kind of separation, I would say. And I think that's healthy.
Yeah, I agree. And I was going to ask... Sorry?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was going to ask you where would... for instance, remote Portugal fit in the work, but you already made that distinction with the surf instructor example, and it was pretty illustrative of what you meant.
Yeah,
I agree with.
I think with remote Portugal, for me, it will be work, even though I do it because I like it, of course, because it's voluntary work. Yeah, but you were saying for you.
Yeah, I was saying for me, I agree with you on that there is. I draw the line also on where it gives me some stress or something that I have to that I have like deadlines or that I need to have some kind of discipline to do it. Like I can't just choose to do it whatever I want. I have it may be a schedule, or it may be just I need to do this 3 times a week, or I need to deliver X and Y until this time, or it may not even have a deadline, but I have a compromise, you know.
Hey guys, Sophie from the future here. I meant commitment and not compromise, okay?
And with hobbies that I do just for fun, I think that they are more like, oh, when I feel like I want to do this, then I'll do this. Or for instance, playing guitar, if I need to have discipline to progress still, but I'm doing because I want to, and because it makes me happy and I want to progress, and I do not have like a rigid compromise. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, you are. And I think that's it. It's like when you have compromise, maybe compromise is not the right word, but I think it's when you have people depending on you or deadlines, as you were saying, that's where you draw the line. And even if it's something you like, because it should be, we all should find something to work that gives us either capacities, if it's voluntary work, like soft skills and new skills, or that gives you money. Oh, it should always be something you enjoy doing it. But yeah, I think you draw the line when you have some kind of responsibility with others and deliverables, and you don't do it just for fun, let's say.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. And you are right. Compromise was not the word I was looking for, but you explained it very well. But my initial question was more in the sense of having like a time separation. So imagine maybe you have this more than me because you work for a company and I do freelancing. You probably have, like you say, on this day, I'm going to work for the company from 9 until 3 p.m. And then I don't look at my work for that company anymore. And I'm going to focus on this. If you are a surfing instructor, I'm going to give these classes, and then I'm going to answer messages or do like the bookings at this time, and then I don't look at it anymore. And in this case, I think that it really depends on what you do. Because for me, for instance, I can say today I'm going to work for freelance clients from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. But then I wake up and I'm not really in the mood for it. And there's something like I have this urge to go do Instagram posts for my page instead. And I switch things up, mm-hmm. You know, I have this flexibility, and it ends up mixing, because then in the breaks I go to my Instagram to see the messages, and it, sometimes people from the music group where I'm at university, sometimes there's something that needs to be fixed up and it's in the middle of my work schedule, quotation marks, and I just go and do it because it's more urgent. So I let things mix up a little bit in that sense. And I'm not sure if you are, if you do that, or if you usually like do a schedule. I'm going to work until 3 p.m. and then I'm free, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you also, like when you were saying that you leave them mixing up, it's also work with work, right? Or your music?
Yeah, I didn't give a good example. Sometimes it has happened. I'm in the middle of my work, and I've decided that I'm going to work during the day, and then at night I will be free. But then someone says, let's go grab coffee in the afternoon. And it's like 1 or 2 hours that I'm going to lose of work. I usually, mm-hmm. if I feel like going for coffee, I usually just switch the 2 hours to the night. You know, I have this mm-hmm. flexibility, and it's a little bit about how I'm feeling at the moment. If I'm not feeling productive, then I think I let things mix up a little bit like that.
Okay. So you are talking more like, yeah, if it's a good work-life separation balance, let's say, or not.
Is that your yeah, question? if that works for you, and if you think it's mm-hmm. also a good thing to do, because you have the risk of, and this happens to me sometimes as well, of not being present, really present at the moment of going for that coffee and thinking about the work that you still have to do.
Okay. Yeah, I think on that last piece you said, I'm pretty good at it. Like, just if I decide to do something that also happens that I shouldn't or is not planned, I'm kind of good on shutting down all the rest, so living the moment. But answering more your question about separating both things, I try to do a schedule. And I think generally speaking, I'm pretty good in that balance, let's say, but also sometimes it gets mixed up, of course, it happens. And I think that that's one of the disadvantage, but also advantage of flexibility on your work, because even if I'm not a freelancer, my company gives me a lot of flexibility on the hours. So it's just as soon as I have the work done, they're pretty flexible. So that's puts me in the same place where you are, more or less. So I try to do a schedule. What my tricks are to try to plan the day after on the day before. I started doing that more often the last month, and it actually helps me. I try to put blocks on my calendar of the tasks I want to do. And
oh, the calendar blocking. I'm going to get into that after. I have a really bad relationship with that, but keep going.
I try it. It not always works, of course, but I really try. And right now, I think I have a pretty good routine, let's say. So I'm usually, not every day, but some days of the week, skiing in the morning and then working in the afternoon and a bit of the evening. So since I'm going at the same time, the days I'm going always at the same time doing sports. That helps me keeping the routine, and I already know, and keeping this balance that we were talking about. Then between my different projects, that was what I called work, and it's all included in the same block in the afternoon and evening. I always try to think what are the priorities, what really needs to be done that day, and try to start for the one that takes the longest time or that I don't have that the most motivation. It's not that always easy, I'll be honest. Like, sometimes I'm getting to the computer and I know I should start by doing this meeting unit of my company, and then I just have something else to do that I'm more motivated to, and I start by the others.
I have that,
but
have
that's that one too. Of the tricks that I try to implement, and I think it really works, because it's when you are more focused and you already get that thing done, and it helps. But it's never it's not always easy, of course. But just to compare with what I had in Portugal a few months ago, where my main sport was surfing, then I got a bit into troubles because I was taking classes. So since I had flexible hours, I was adapting myself, and sometimes I was going to a class in the middle of the afternoon because I was like, yeah, I can, I don't have any meetings, I don't have anything specific, I can do it. And then it's where you need to be really disciplined, because for that I should have worked better in the morning then, so I can go to the class and I think get things done. But my mornings are really hard to wake up early to work. So,
oh my God, Raquel, don't say that. You know that. I mean, she's saying this and she was waking up at like 7 a.m. to go surfing, and I was crashing in the bed trying to get up to start working at 10. So,
and that's the thing. It's like to do sports, or if you have a commitment with someone, that's what is happening here. For example, here I'm doing skiing. When I'm going, it's in the morning, and we are ready with the skis to go up the mountain at 8:15, so super early. And for that, I'm okay. I mean, it's a struggle, but I go because I have people waiting for me, because I committed to go, and it's fine. To work, where it's just dependent on you, you know.
Yeah,
it's harder.
It
for
gets
me.
Hard. Yeah, actually,
so
today
I prefer to do this morning. I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, today I mean, I did almost everything I needed to do yesterday. So today I had a meeting at 10 a.m. and I only started working at 10 a.m. because I had that meeting, because what I felt like doing the most was just staying in bed, because sometimes I work on weekends. Sometimes I have that. Yeah, it's like I said, I changed things up a lot, but having that meeting at 10 a.m. and it's a recurring meeting, that I have with always the same company, and I'm really enjoying it that it is at 10 a.m. on a Friday because it's getting me out of bed. Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's a commitment. If like, so for me, I think it works the sport in the morning if I have company, because if I'm alone, it doesn't work either. Or what I can suggest to people if they don't like to do sports in the morning or if they don't have anyone to go with, like maybe try to find a work buddy. That also helps me. If you commit with someone going at 9 a.m. to a co-working space to work, then you will go. Like, I think that's the trick.
The co-working, the online co-working session, the Remote Portugal online co-working, that helped me a lot. I didn't have such a productive day for a while because we started at 9:30. And usually I only start, I try to start at that time, but usually I only start at 10, 10:30, something like that. And the day just went by and I was really productive because I had that commitment with other people. Yeah, that's super important.
Yeah, I think I have, just summarizing, I think I have a good work-life balance. But of course, I always, sometimes I also struggle with what you were sharing. You struggle as well, like if you have flexibility, then sometimes you don't define so well your priorities if you are not in the mood, but then you also overcompensate on other days. So I think if you look to the global picture, it's a good balance.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you talked about priorities, because that's something that made a huge difference in my case, because I have a lot going on like you. And my biggest difficulty is prioritizing stuff, because I always feel bad that I'm leaving projects in the background. And there are some months where something really, really needs to be prioritized. Like in January, when I decided to really put my freelance business working in a way that I could sustain myself with it, I had to put the Instagram page on the background. I had to put the music group in the background. There was a time when I had to put Remote Portugal on the background in the summer because I was moving to Porto. Because you can't simply do everything that you want. And I think prioritizing is the biggest thing that worked for me. But I really have that struggle with leaving things behind. And what I try to do to get over that is not thinking about leaving things behind, but thinking about, okay, I'm going to leave this for later, but I will get to it. Like I will actually go look at the calendar, at the month, and I will say, okay, on this month, I'm going to focus on this, and this is going to decide, but on this month, I'm going to go back to this. And it usually, sometimes it doesn't work exactly as I planned, but it helps me deal with that struggle of, oh, but I'm leaving my baby behind and I want to have all these babies, which are the projects. I want to work on them all at the same time. I don't know if you also struggle with this or how you define your priorities in your work and life / side projects thingy.
Yeah, I think you said the right thing is you need to be realistic sometimes. You cannot, like if you have different tasks on your list and you feel that all of them are a priority and you don't have time for all, then we have to rethink and maybe say no to some stuff. And when you say no, it doesn't need no forever. But as you were saying, then you will get back later, or it's just a pause. Because I think that's one of the major struggles for a lot of people, saying no to work-related stuff or social, personal stuff. Depends on with who are you talking to. But that also happens a lot with people that just have their 9-to-5 job. They just accept things at work, and then they work more hours than they should because they are always accepting new tasks. So I think saying no is one of the good things to be able to define your priorities. And then how do I do it? Usually, first I look to the deadlines. There are stuff that have deadlines and they cannot be postponed at all. Then that's a priority. If it's a deadline that I know that I can push a little because it's not that urgent, well, we define it that we should be completing that by end of March, but I know nobody suffers from it, let's say. Like, it's nothing dependent on it. If it's get delayed 1 month, then I'll try to push for it and just put it as a non-priority. So I look into the deadlines, also dependencies, if there is someone depending on that course, that's usually a priority. And yeah, that's mostly it, actually. And that's one of the things I suggest to people who have troubles organizing themselves is do that to the list of activities you have. Like, it can be more detailed or less detailed. I try to go into detail. I try to do, like, by department, let's say, so by project. So I have my job, my side projects into different boxes, and then have the list of activities per box, let's say. Then among that, defining the priorities, and then try to focus in one thing at a time, because that's something also hard sometimes when you
that's super important.
Yeah, and maybe try to really look into the, when you have that list, then try to step back. Okay, I have 20 priorities. Maybe I cannot do them all, or I need to deprioritize something, because 20 priorities will get done in, what, 15 days, a month, depending on what tasks we are talking about. So yeah, I think it's kind of a circle. You start, and then you improve, and you see what you can say no, what can be delayed, and then you live a more relaxed life, let's say.
Yeah, that's the goal. you talked about a couple of interesting things, and one of them is that the saying no thing, and you can say no to other people and also to yourself. Like, I was speaking about projects, and actually I just want to share something, and I'm not going to remember the name of the person that said this, I'm sorry, but there was someone that said that, okay, you have trouble being organized and managing all your projects, then write everything that you want to do or that you need to do, and the people would write it. And then he said, circle the three or the five, I can't remember, most important things. And after, the people thought, okay, these ones are the ones I'm going to focus on. And then the other ones are the ones that I'm going to do when I have time. When I have some time here and there, I'm going to do them. And the guy said, no, those are the things that you are not going to do until the other ones are done. And that really resonates with me because of what you said. Something that you said you do, it's to do the biggest or the most important or most difficult task first. And what I end up doing is I see the other small things that I have to do, and because those are easier to get into, I just do them. And then the most important thing gets put aside. Yeah, I think the prioritization is not just saying, okay, I'm going to focus on this first. It's like really focusing on one thing at a time, and until that is done, I'm not going to even look at the other things. That's something that really helped me get into that mindset of, no, I'm not going to do this until this is done. And the other thing did you hear of this before? The guy that I can remember the name.
No, but it's an interesting point of view, because it can also help some people that if you do those little ones that you were talking about first, you at least get some things done, and then you feel better. Yeah. Maybe that's going to help.
Yeah, that's also
people as well.
Yeah, it's like we said in the beginning, there are a lot of ways to look into this. Actually, this view of this guy was more to what projects you were going to prioritize and not really tasks in a day. But I think it can also be applied. The other thing that you talked about was dependencies. And I actually never thought about this in this sense, in this way of, imagine my project, I decided to prioritize freelancing in January because everything that I wanted to do depended on me having the money to sustain myself. So it was like a dependency on that project, I guess. So yeah, it can also apply to this big picture of your life. Imagine if you need to have like a big network of people, of connections to start your side project, maybe you should prioritize your social life and meeting new people. And also if your mental health, like if your performance at your job depends on your mental health, and it does, like it does always, maybe you should prioritize that instead of trying to burn yourself out working more hours.
Yeah, it always end up on knowing what are your goals are and then kind of deconstruct them, like going backwards and see, okay, to get to these goals, what I need to do, what is missing. And I was just remembering while we were sharing the other guy's story, there is a friend of mine that actually one of the things she shared with me and that she does every day, and it helps her, it's just really silly, but it helps her get like a check on her day first thing in the day that she, it's done at least. So she does her bed every morning, and it's something that actually I don't, to be honest. And that thing of like tidying up the room since she wakes up or takes her breakfast, it's already like one thing done in her day, and then she's ready to start the day. And it seems pretty silly, but I think it can help. It's like at least there is one thing that is done. It's like doing the workout in the morning, done, you know. And like little tasks we were talking before, sometimes they help because you start getting motivation for other stuff.
Yeah, I actually wash the dishes in the morning,
for example. Yeah,
I never do that at night because I don't have the patience, but I always do them in the morning, and it really helps me. And I guess if it's like a workout, if it's something that also goes towards your goals, it's a bonus. Yeah. That you get to do.
Exactly.
That you get to check that out. So we are running out of time, I think, but I wanted to tackle a couple more things. I'm just curious, is there any piece of advice that you see or hear a lot online or around you that everyone seems to believe works, but it doesn't work at all for you?
I tried to think about that before and I don't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, for me, it's calendar blocking. Like, oh, and waking up at 5 a.m. too.
I know, okay, yeah. Waking up super early at crazy hours before 7, it always hurts. For me, I know I did that for surfing sometimes, but it hurts a lot in my body. and I don't think I can do that long term, to be honest. Yeah, calendar blocking doesn't work for you then? You try it?
Yeah, I mean, it works for some time, but then I just get stressed out with it. It works. What has been working for me now, it's I have this board on Notion, and yeah, I like to work with stuff that let me personalize it every way I can. And sometimes I take too long to do it. It's kind of, there was a term that I heard, which is procrastinating working, which is procrastinating on the important stuff while doing other stuff that seems important for your work. But anyway, I have a board which has the days of the week, like on Trello or something like that with the columns. And then I plan out the tasks that I'm going to do that week. And some of them don't have a deadline, you know? And what I realize is when I'm putting the deadline in tasks that really don't have to be done that day, they can be delayed, it just stresses me out to have all those deadlines. So I just have them like there somewhere, and then I just drag them into the days of the week. And it's very easy to move them around. So I don't get that stressed out feeling of I have to do it at this time. And I don't put like hours on it, just on meetings. But that is on the calendar. Okay. On the tasks, I don't put any hours on it because first, I'm really bad at estimating the time that I'm going to take to do stuff. And then I feel bad because I didn't do it in the time that I assigned it. And also it allows me to have some flexibility, but I do order them by priority. So I do the first ones that have a deadline, of course, and then the most important one. And that way I can know what I really, really, really need to get done that day. And after I do that, it's already a win, you know? I can already feel good about that day. And then I tackle the other ones without the pressure of I have to do this today. I'm just going to tackle it. And for me, it works best this way, this more relaxed way. And I know that for other people, if they don't say, oh, I need to do this today, they can just never do it, you know? But for me, I get really stressed out when I have too much restrictions. So yeah, that's why calendar blocking never worked for me because of the time restriction. And I still use it when I have like a big day where I really, really need to do all of this stuff. Then I really need to be disciplined that day, but it doesn't work in the long term. because I just get burned out and stressed out. Yeah.
Okay. And did you try to start timing your tasks so you know more or less?
Yeah, I do that.
Not to stress you out, but just to know more or less how you take.
I only do that with client work, but that's to be able to give quotes. It's not to know how much time I will take on each step, I think. Yeah.
Okay. I started, not by tasks, to be honest, but by project. I started controlling my time on Toggle.
Oh, yeah. I tried to do that once, actually. Yeah. But that was for me to have, like, to know how much time I was wasting. I just did for a couple of days and I was shocked with how much time I was wasting doing nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For me, it's more to know how many hours of productive work I have, because I always stop the timer when I go to the bathroom or when I'm going to WhatsApp or, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, actually. And I'm sad I never did that while I was working at the office at the time, because I bet the 9 hours I was there, I wasn't productive all of the time. So it was interesting now to compare. Is actually I'm just being this amount of hours productive right now because I'm working remotely, or is it actually the same time while I was at the office? And I don't know, and I will never know. But
yeah, because you didn't time it when you are at the office. Yeah.
No. Yeah, but it was an interesting comparison.
Yeah, if someone is still working at the office, maybe you can do that experience if you are switching to remote.
Yeah, it will be interesting. But and it's useful for me, at least. Like sometimes I'm in front of my computer 5 hours and then I'm productive like 3. It's really interesting for you to understand if I can actually be focused while I'm here, then I have 2 more extra hours to do whatever, like even going outside or just work more. So that's an interesting analysis.
Yeah, not being too rigid with yourself. Like if you are not being productive, maybe it's more productive for you to go take a 30-minute walk, you know, than trying to force yourself to just smash through all your tasks.
Yeah. And I was trying to remember what we were talking before. You were talking about stuff that don't work for you. I'm trying to, but I already failed a couple of times, but I'm still trying to start using Asana as a to-do list, because I'm that person that does a bunch of to-do lists. Like I like to write them first of all on paper, and since I wanted to stop using paper, I actually now got an iPad. I can actually write with a pen, so I do that transition. But I still would love, sometimes I feel, well, if I already know I have this task, I just put on Asana, I define a date. It will be so easy just to go to that tool and she will give me right away what I need to do next day. But then I feel the need to write. So I'm still doing most of the times manually, like my to-do list for the next day, or even just put, I keep a lot of stuff in my head automatically. So all the things I need to do are usually in my head, what is really a waste of brain.
Yeah, that's one of the big things for me. I think I achieved a better work-life balance because I managed to, that separation that I was talking about, I don't do it on time, because usually I work, but because it's creative work, most of my work, I actually do best if I do a block of work in the morning and then a block of work after lunch, and then I just don't. And then I just do a small block of work at night, like I spread it out, you know, and it works best for me because I leave my brain time to rest and process the ideas. But what I do to separate work from personal life is, first, I have 2 phones, and I don't, like, one is just trash, it's just an old phone, but I have another SIM card there and I can't separate everything on the 2 phones, but I separate the client work. Like my clients contact me on one phone and I don't get anything from them on the other one. And the other thing that I do is I put everything that I have to do and every note, like literally everything, on Notion. And it's my second brain. Yeah. And so I don't have to save anything that I have to do or that I have to remember on my brain. And that helps me turn it off when I'm having fun with friends or anything like that. It really helps me turn it off because I really don't have to remember anything, because a reminder is going to pop up, or I need to check where this information. Okay, I have it here. Yeah, that having a second brain helps me a lot.
It makes sense, and that's what I'm trying to do. Even though for me, doing that, having that to-do list in my brain, it doesn't really bother me separating social life with the work life, because it's just there. It's just there in the back of my head. Yeah. I'm not thinking about it. But I really would love to do it, because of course there are some stuff that sometimes get lost in my brain.
You don't have to.
Helpful.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it, because everyone works in a different way. Yeah. It works for me. Yeah.
It's true. I was just, you remember something with the phone, because I know some people that have a 9-to-5 job have their company phones. I never have, but I know some friends that they have, and it's actually really good if you can just shut down that phone when it's not your working hours, because I know some people that have a lot of troubles with that, and then it's hard to disconnect.
Yeah, and some people have an easy time saying no, so they see a message or something from their boss and they're like, oh, I'm not working hours, I'll just deal with that in the morning. But other people, like me for instance, I have this urge to take care of it, you know. So I'm just curious about one last thing, and it's kind of related to what I said about separating my work blocks across the day. So that's what I meant when I mixed everything up. What do you do on your breaks? I believe you take breaks, you don't do all the work in one go.
Yeah. So, well, lunch breaks or food breaks related, I usually watch a series. When there are short breaks, depends. If I'm with people, I really just take a coffee with someone, have a chat, quick chat. If I'm alone, usually I go to my phone. That's something.
Yeah, but on your phone, do you like scroll social media, or do you like talk with other people? I mean, are you being social, or are you just finding a way to wind down from work?
Most of the times it is answering messages. There are some days that is just scrolling down, because I want a shutdown of my brain. But it usually is answering stuff. That is also something I realized, that I was taking too much time, for example, on WhatsApp. So I tried to shut down while I'm working. And so then on my breaks, I can let me go there and actually answer people. But I prefer the breaks I talk with someone. So if I have a work buddy, I usually just chat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I ask that because I think it may be a very good way to have a better work-life balance. If you use your breaks to connect with other people, like in that way you are already having that balance, and it works best for me because I do those long breaks in the day. And so I kind of try to achieve it that way, and not really separating two moments of the day, you know?
If it's long breaks, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Or even go for a walk.
Yeah. Okay, we had a lot more stuff that we could talk about. It's a really broad topic, I guess. And actually, I checked the questions, and we didn't have anything that we didn't already answer. So I think we can wrap it up, unless you have something else to say, like some last big advice for someone that is really clueless on how to start. Because we talked about a lot of stuff, but you're not going to implement that all at the same time, you know? So would be the first thing to do?
First thing is really define what is the priorities for you, I think.
I agree.
And tackle them. And that's the thing you said is my last piece of advice. Yeah, don't try to implement new habits all at once. Just tackle them once at a time. And that's it.
Yeah, and don't be too hard on yourself.
Like, exactly.
No one has perfect work-life balance unless you don't have to work anymore, you know?
No, yeah. Even myself, I'm good in managing other people's projects, but then sometimes my life not that much. So don't be too harsh on yourself.
Yeah, just baby steps and try to improve little by little. And like Raquel said, I think the first step will be to define your priorities and really focus on making that work out, and then try to implement the other stuff.
Exactly.
And people, well, mental health is always a priority, okay? Don't burn yourself out.
It is.
Okay, I think that is a wrap. Don't forget to share this podcast with a friend that is really disorganized and needs some insights on how they can improve that. And subscribe if you want to be notified of further of the next episodes. And I also have a newsletter that I created that will also remind you of new episodes in your email. And I'll also share some updates on my UX journey that don't make it to the episode, and share some useful links that also don't make it here. So if you are interested in receiving that in your email, I will have a link in the description. And yeah, that's it. Thank you, Raquel, for being here. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Sophia.
Bye-bye.
Bye.